Well, thank you, John. Let me open in prayer. Heavenly Father, please may we hear and apply these words from your Son in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Please may we take them to heart and respond in his name. Amen. Earlier this week, I planned to preach on a later section of Luke chapter 13 on the Sabbath. And then yesterday, I changed tack completely and went with the first few verses of Luke chapter 13, the verses that I'll preach on today. Because earlier this week I've been kind of thinking about the evil in Libya. And then with the tragedy in Japan, I thought, given that these verses are in chapter 13, I should be preaching on them. And so I've changed to verses 1 through to 8. Isn't it interesting that in these verses, there's two examples. The people come to Jesus, Jesus is there teaching, and some people call out to Jesus, "Jesus, what about that time when the Galileans rebelled against the Romans?" And the Romans who were horrible rulers. I mean, they built wonderful buildings, but they ruled with an iron fist. And so these rebellious Galileans were killed, and then to add insult to injury, the Romans mixed their blood with the sacrifices, their pagan sacrifices, just to kind of stick it to them even more. So this horrible evil. What about that, Jesus? What about those Galileans? What about the Colonel Gaddafi there in Libya? And the way he deals with the protests is to kill his own people. Well, what about that? What about that, Jesus? And Jesus says, were they, the Libyans, the Galileans, were they worse sinners? And then we have this tragedy first, and some people call out to Jesus, and they say, what about that time when the tower fell on those people in Siloam? What about the people in Sendai in Japan? And Jesus says, were they more guilty? And so it's interesting that on this just shortly after we're watching, I checked the news this morning, and the attacks in Libya are ongoing right now, and Colonel Gaddafi is continuing this evil, and we're still, as Paul said, all in shock after seeing those images from Japan. And so this is a very relevant question to ask Jesus. And Jesus responds. And before we look at his response, I've divided the sermon into two topics, and those two topics are my sermon points, and they're there in the pew bulletin. The first one is the big question. I just want to deal with the big question of theodicy, and the second question of what's the outcome? Given this evil, Galilee and Libya, and this tragedy, Siloam and Japan, what is the outcome? So the first question, the big question of theodicy. Theodicy is basically the question, this question. How can there be bad events? Libya, Galilee, Japan, the Tower of Siloam falling on those people. How can there be bad events and a good and all-powerful God? That's what theodicy means, that question. How is that question answered? The scripture says three things. And I think this threefold answer forms a triangle, and the response and the solution takes place inside this triangle. Three sides to this triangle. The first is the goodness of God. The goodness of God. So look at verse 34 of chapter 13. Jesus says this. Jesus, second person of the Trinity, God with us, says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often, says Jesus, how often have I longed to gather you like a mother hen loves and gathers her little babies under her wings, and you have not been willing." God is good. We see this in the creation. God makes a good creation. And God is the origin of good. And so We have this triangle on the first side. The first side of our answer is that God is good. How long, says Jesus, have I longed to gather you? Gather you like a mother hen. The heart of God. God is good. The goodness of God. The other side of our triangle, the second angle, is the evilness of evil. The evilness of evil. Look at the Jeremiah reading. So, Jeremiah 32, the whole chapter's not here, there's only a few verses from Jeremiah 32, but this whole chapter is this catalogue of evil things that the kingdom of Judea was doing. It was sort of like this, you name it, they were doing everything possible against God. And it is a horrifying chapter to read. And look at the way Jesus responds to the evil. Sorry, God responds to evil here in Jeremiah. Look at the way God responds to Jeremiah, the evil here. Verse 35. So they've sacrificed their children and he says, I never commanded it. Nor did it enter my mind that they should do such detestable things. Evil is alien to God. We've got to emphasize the evilness of evil. Remember there in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve have chosen to go against God. They've eaten the fruit, and then they hid, and God comes looking for them. And the first question he asks them is, what is this have you done? Evil is alien to God. It's not, evil isn't part of God. He looks at it and asks, what is this? The goodness of God, the evilness of evil, and the last angle of our triangle is in Colossians there. Let's jump in halfway through Colossians, verse 16 of Colossians chapter 1. All things have been created through him, through Jesus, and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. But that all means atoms, trees, countries, galaxies, all things. And so we have this triangle, the goodness of God, the evilness of evil, and the power and control of God. And our answer takes place within those boundaries. And so we wonder, what is the best outcome? And what answer does Jesus give? This evilness in Galilee and Libya, this tragedy in Japan, in the Tower of Siloam. What answer, what outcome, Jesus? What is the best outcome, Jesus, in this? Because as humans, we have an outcome. As humans, we have a particular outcome. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I read, or maybe I shouldn't have been surprised, between the two earthquakes in Christchurch, the first one, which no one died from, and it caused a lot of damage, and it was weaker, and it was at night, and the second one, but between the two of them, I read that somebody wrote that, well, this will rebuild the New Zealand economy. Is that the outcome that Jesus says? Disasters will build you up? And when people say, but Jesus, what about those Galileans? And Jesus, what about the tower? Jesus, what about Libya? And what about Japan? Does Jesus say, well, it'll build you up? No. Look at Romans 8:28. That single verse there. We know that in all things God works for his good, works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes. We know that that God is at work. God is at work. And the first outcome, the first thing that God does is in Jerusalem. The thing that the heart of God's solution, the first part of this outcome takes place in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, where God, Emmanuel with us, demonstrates his power And he demonstrates his power. Look at verse 19 of Colossians chapter 1. He demonstrates his power by reconciling himself to us, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And isn't it interesting here on the cross in Jerusalem, those three ideas come together. That evil event where people murder Jesus. But God demonstrates his goodness in turning that around for his good purposes, in forgiving our sins, and in all of that demonstrates his power. You see, the outcome, that when we face these disasters, it's not that God doesn't care. It's not that God doesn't, because God is good. He's like a mother hen that gathers her chickens. It's not that God is incapable. It's like God is like, Colonel Gaddafi, what do I do? What do I, Pilate, the Romans, what do I do? No. God is in control. And it's not that God is evil, that somehow God gets some sort of pleasure from this. Because God looks at evil and he says, what is this? God looks at evil and says, it had not even entered my mind. God is good. Evil is evil. God is powerful. And it comes together on the cross. And it's not about the outcome isn't, well, maybe Australian deployment, maybe Australia will be improved by this somehow. It's not about how we respond and maybe we do a good deal. That's not the outcome. What is the outcome that Jesus says? Libya, Japan, verse 5. Jesus says, facing these disasters, verse 5, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. You see, because these are here for us at a distance. So the people said, they'd seen, maybe somebody had seen the Roman soldiers, and they said to Jesus, what about that time? And it's like us seeing on the news, or me logging in this morning and seeing Libya, and seeing the news from Libya. Or it's like us watching on the news, watching what happens in Japan. Jesus is responding directly to us, the people that are outside watching this disaster. Now, just a quick tangent. God has words for people in the midst of disasters. We're not in the midst of a disaster, we're watching one. But just out of, as a tangent, out of interest, for example, in Psalm 86, God has words of comfort for people in the middle of a disaster. And maybe if you're ever caught in a tragedy or a disaster, these are words for you. So just as Psalm 86 begins, hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. So God has words for those caught in disasters. But Jesus is talking to us who are observers. Observers of Libya and observers of Japan. Observers of Galilee and observers of that tower in Siloam. And you get that from verse 1. There were some who were present who told Jesus about. Quite often, when we're preaching, where maybe there's a strange verse or we're unpacking something unusual, but I'm struck by how direct this is to us. Two disasters, an evil man-made disaster, a natural tragedy, and they're presented right here in the passage, and Jesus says, that seems strange, doesn't it, to say this, but Jesus says, when faced with these disasters, when you observe them, repent. And he tells this interesting story. He says, there was a master and a servant in a tree, The master comes by and sees the tree, and he says, there's no fruit on this tree. I've come by 3 years. Maybe it's a big property, so he only comes by once a year. And he sees this tree, and he says, well, what's going on here? You know, I bought this tree. It was very expensive 3 years ago, and there's no fruit. I've come by 3 years, and there's been no fruit. And the gardener's standing there, and the gardener says, well, look, okay. Says, I'll give it another year. I'll put some fertilizer around it. I'll water it, and give it another year. God is giving us another opportunity to repent. And we might feel, but do we need one? Because just the other week from Acts 26, we heard the message of turn from light. So turn from darkness to light. And really, it's like this tree, isn't it? The master checks 1 year. No fruit, another year, no fruit, another year, no fruit. I'll give it another year. God gives us another opportunity to repent. Because he's like the mother hen who loves us. And he gives us another opportunity to repent. You see, when Jesus says to the people, what about the Galileans? What about that horrible things the Romans did? What about Colonel Gaddafi there doing evil things in Libya to his own people? And Jesus says, are they worse sinners? No, no. The people in Libya, the people in Hobart are all sinners. What about the people in Siloam? What about the Japanese? No, we're guilty. Sendai, Hobart, Battery Point. Is anybody more guilty? No, no. We're guilty. And what is God doing in the face of disaster? He's waiting for us to repent. He says, I'll leave it one more year, giving us another chance to repent. You see, the problem of evil has a solution there on the cross by the shedding of blood. God uses the disaster for his good purposes. And that good purpose is our repentance. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, please may the Christians in Libya and Japan, please right now bring Psalm 86 to their minds and hearts to comfort them. And Lord, right now to the people of Battery Point, St. George's, please may we hear the words of your Son. Thank you for giving us another year, another opportunity to repent. And so, Lord, we turn to you in repentance. And thank you for your mercy and love on the cross. Amen.